Praise God. Welcome back to the adults that have signed in their parents. No, they've signed in their kids. Well done. So we're doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And, I know there's 9 fruits to the Spirit, but I'm sure a lot of us have heard a message on each one. And we've done a couple on some of the main ones. Alice did an amazing job on peace, and we've done some joy and that type of thing. But I really felt to sort of take a bit of a step back from the detail of the specifics, and let's take a bit of a breather. Let's take a step back. We're not going to go down the standard route of having 9 weeks of one fruit per week. So let's look at our foundation scripture, which is Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. And if it's okay, I'm going to take it slowly today. Is that all right? I don't want to just rush through my message for the sake of getting to the end of it. I want us to take time and just think about some very familiar scriptures, but I want us to just take some time over the Word of God today. So Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness." Shanae always laughs when I say long-suffering. "Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." These are the fruits of the Spirit. Notice it doesn't say it's the fruit of hard works. It's not the fruit of self-improvement. It's not the fruit of behavior modification. But it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit who's at work in our lives. So as we do the abiding, the Holy Spirit does the producing. And all we have to do is be the branches and bear fruit. And the whole purpose of this series over the summer months on the fruit of the Spirit is for us to do a spiritual MOT. Okay, so there are listed 9 fruits of the Spirit. There is actually one fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, which is manifested in various ways. But if we look at the dashboard of our lives, if our lives had a dashboard, and we were looking at, it had 9 dials. Your life has these 9 dials. How would your MOT measure up? Okay, so what's the position of your love-o-meter? Okay, what's the position of your joy-o-meter? Your peace-o-meter? How about Shanae's favorite, long-suffering-o-meter? How do they measure up? Is it in the red? You know, with a warning light flashing. You know, the other day I forgot to put petrol in. My word, you'd swear blind the world was coming to an end. My car started ping, 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 and it wouldn't stop until I put petrol in. But, you know, maybe you've got a dashboard that's going ping, ping, ping. You know, it might be warning lights because you're a little bit overdrawn, maybe, in the love department. Maybe a little overdrawn in the joy section. Or maybe you're flourishing, you're bubbling over, you're overflowing. Praise God for that. That's wonderful, because we know that God wants to increase us. He's not looking to reduce us. He's not looking to diminish us. Bible says that he has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. In 1 Peter, 2 Peter, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." Multiplied. God's not trying to reduce you. He's not trying to make you mad. He's trying to bless you. He's trying to build you up. Another scripture talks about having joy unspeakable and full of glory. When you say glory, you've got to say it like that. You know, glory. Say that, glory. Glory, full of glory. Ephesians 3:20 says that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Man, how I want that for my life. I want to be filled with the fullness of God. Anybody else? You want to be filled with the fullness of God? And there's another scripture that says that the Lord will make you increase and abound in love to one another. So God is looking to increase us. And so maybe today you might feel that maybe one of those attributes, one of those fruits, is slightly lacking in your life. You know it's there, but it's a little bit hidden. It's a little bit dormant. It's a little bit undernourished in your life. It's not quite evident yet. Okay, but listen, the Bible says there's no condemnation. Okay, this message is going to try and build you. Okay, we're not heaping guilt. Okay, there's no guilt, but we're going to build. And one of the most frequently used analogies in the Bible, whether it's an analogy or parables, is always, it's a constant reference to the seed, to the seed. And we see in Genesis 8:22, the Bible says this. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. It sounds like Britain on a normal day. I couldn't resist that. Sea time, harvest, cold, heat, winter, summer, day, night. Yep, that's England. Thank you. That's us on a normal day. But there's a principle in the Word of God there about seed. Seed time. And this, the principle of the seed is established throughout the Bible. Throughout the Word of God, we see this principle at work. And that scripture says, while the earth remains, the earth has remained. We're still here, aren't we? We are. While the earth remains. So this principle still exists. It exists all throughout the Bible. It exists in our lives today. And we can see various things throughout the Word. Starting in Genesis 1, God starts speaking about seeds that will, herbs and fruit trees, which will produce seed, which will feed us. Seed for our enjoyment to eat. What Chris was speaking about, sowing financially. The Bible says that he gives seed to the sower and bread for food. 1 Peter 1, I love the scripture, talks about, it's not going to come up on the screen, but it says when we are born again not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed of the Word of God that lives and abides forever. Hallelujah. I love the Word of God. Who else loves the Word? Love the Word of God. So, and then Matthew 17, Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. That's all you need. Mustard seed, it's the smallest seed that's required, and we can move a mountain if we have that much faith. Jesus is referred to the seed of David. He's referred to the seed of Abraham. And so the list goes on and on and on about seed. In John 12, Jesus says these words. He says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And Jesus was that seed that fell to the ground and died. And you and I today are those many seeds, those many seeds. So it's important for us, though, to remember that that scripture that came up from Galatians 5 is about the fruit of the Spirit, not the seed of the Spirit. But any fruit on a fruit tree starts off in seed form. And as it matures, as it receives water and all the nutrients that it requires, that fruit will grow. It will develop and into a ripened, matured fruit, which is the title of my message by now, which is maturing fruit. Today's message is called Maturing Fruit. So what do we do about the undernourished fruit in our lives? You know, if we're doing a spiritual MOT, what do we do about those bits that are undeveloped? We know from previous weeks where we've, from John 15, we heard a message about abiding in the vine. And we know that the Holy Spirit is the one who does the producing, but we are the ones that do the bearing. And that bearing fruit is the visible expression of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives as we yield to Him. And the Holy Spirit is perfect. There's no lack in Him. He's perfect. He's the third person of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's perfect. There's nothing lacking in Him. So we can surmise that if there's fruit missing in our lives, we cannot blame the Holy Spirit. He's not the one here at fault, okay? The issue isn't Him. The issue might be us. But we've heard in previous messages that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And that through His precious promises, we can become partakers, partners of God's divine nature. It's not like we're trying to be something. You know, we're not trying to produce something. Just through God's precious promises and through the Holy Spirit, we are partakers of God's divine nature. And when Jesus speaks about faith the size of a mustard seed, that is able to move a mountain, that's all that's required. We don't need mega faith. Now, my background and our background is a faith church. Okay, we come from a faith church. I'm not saying forget faith, okay, but we just don't need mega faith. We just need the measure of faith. Each one is given to us the measure of faith, and we just have to put that measure to work. So we start with what we've got. But the purpose of that mustard seed isn't that it should stay small, but that it should grow. So like faith, the fruit of the Holy Spirit should increase in our lives. And I've done a little check on myself. And I thought, a year ago, where am I compared to a year ago? And this is where I am right now. So where do I want to be in a year's time? You know, have I got enough fruit in me that's being developed, that's going to carry me? Because this is what each one of us have need. But in effect, so what we're saying, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, but the same way, if you have love the size of a mustard seed, it's there. It's in you. The Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is in you. If you have peace the size of a mustard seed, it doesn't want to stay like that. It needs to grow. It's not meant to stay in its seed form. It's intended to grow. Okay. The seed, just something about a seed. A seed is not dead. When you look at a seed, it can look really hard and gnarly, isn't it? But the important thing to know is that it's not dead. It's actually a living plant in a dormant state. That's what a seed is. But once that seed is placed in the right environment, it grows and it develops. And there are two main ingredients that are required for that seed to grow. And they are water and air. And you know, I don't know how many times Alice, or whoever's doing kids' church, I always pick on Alice because she's so brilliant with this stuff. You know, she will come in with little sunflower seeds, and they will take the kids will take a sunflower seed and plant it between a piece of wet kitchen towel, and the thing will sprout because it's got the two ingredients that it has need of, water and air, water and air. What happens is the seed swells, it starts to swell, until it breaks open. And that process is called germination. So the two main ingredients that cause germination are water and air. I promise you we're going somewhere with this. But that's just the start. We then have to create the right environment. This little seed bursts open, and then we have to put it into a pot of soil for it to grow and to develop into its maturity. It's the same with the spiritual seed. It's the same with the Word of God. There's a scripture in James that says, receive with meekness the implanted word, the implanted seed, which is able to save your soul. Receive with meekness the implanted seed. In other words, receive it with the right heart, with humility, with receive the word of God when we have the right heart. But it's when we receive with meekness that seed, it's not meant to stay like that. It's intended to grow. So just as in the natural, how we need water and air, the same too with the spiritual seed. The spiritual seed requires water and air. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. Together, the Word and the Spirit together cause that seed to germinate within us, producing life and fruit. So water, where do we see this? From Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I was going to just quote one section of it, but I can't help it because I have to read three verses. And I'm going to throw a little thing in with it because it's talking here about husbands, love your wives. So I've got to throw this in. Husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. I had to read the whole thing. I just got this scripture grabbed a hold of me. God's, Jesus's love, passion for the church. This is Jesus's church, and he is passionate about the church. And I want you today, this might sound like quite wordy, but he talks here how Jesus sanctifies and cleanses the church, the bride, by the washing of water by the word. Sometimes it's good, let's just sit and allow the water of the word to just wash over us, to just cleanse us, to just refresh us. That's what the word of God does. Jesus sanctifies and cleanses the church by the washing of the water by the word. And then the other part, two parts needed for germination, water and air. Air, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Right in creation, in Genesis chapter 2, we can read the account where God creates man from the dust of the earth. And then the Bible says he breathes, God breathes into his man, and the man Adam became a living being. He became a living being when God breathed into him. And John 20, verse 22, it's not coming up on the screen, but after Jesus' resurrection, he breathes. Jesus, resurrected Jesus, breathes onto his disciples, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Those two words are the only time for breathe. Those particular words are used together in the Bible, in those two accounts, Genesis 2, 7 and John 20, 27. And it means the breath of God, the hot wind of God kindling a flame. allowing the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and quicken it. Like Alvin was speaking about, allowing the fire of the Holy Spirit to take a word and to quicken it. Allow the breath of God, the divine breath of God, to breathe life into that word. Water and air. Water and air. I like what the Message says from that Ephesians 5. It says that Jesus' words evoke the church's beauty. I love that. Jesus' words cause the church to become beautiful. Everything he says and does is designed to bring out the best in her. And that's what God's word is designed to do. It's designed to bring out the best in you and me. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news? You can respond. Amen. Amen. There's always an abundance of God's presence. There's always an abundance of his Holy Spirit. You know what? Even in the darkest times, even in when maybe there's sadness or grief in your life, maybe it's threatening to overwhelm you, maybe anxiety or fear is coming upon you, it's threatening you, maybe impatience, short-temperedness seems to be running unusually high in your life. Remember God's love. Remember God's joy. Remember his peace. There's a thing that some contemplative Christians do, thing called centering prayer. And what centering prayer, there's various steps in the centering prayer process. And one of the last steps is ever so gently return to the word. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling joyless, anxious, lack of self-control, not feeling very kind, not feeling very good, don't try and make yourself. You cannot make yourself. That's behavior modification. Ever so gently, return to the word. Allow the word, with the breath of God on it, to bring life to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to breathe on you. To breathe on you. Just think about it, eh? There's a scripture that says in Romans 10 that faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. But so does fear. So does anxiety. So if faith comes by hearing, it's a principle. If faith comes by hearing, joy comes by hearing. Peace comes by hearing. We've experienced it in the last couple of weeks. Alice preached a brilliant message on peace. Guess what? The peace of God came so beautifully in the service. Last week we spoke on the joy of the Lord. There was great joy in the service. But it's what are you listening to? Take heed what you hear. Be careful about what you're hearing. Faith comes by hearing, but so does joy, so does love, so does peace, so does kindness comes by hearing. What goes in, what you're listening to, is what comes out. Garbage in, garbage out. But goodness in, goodness out as well, the same way. So the fruit of the Spirit comes by hearing. Never heard this preached before, so don't stone me, but it's okay. But it's the same seed time principle, which applies to fruit as what it does to faith. What are you listening to? What are you sowing into your heart? And I want to encourage you, if you are suffering, and in this world, you know, If anybody says they've got on top of every anxiety and fear, well, then I think, well, bless you, come and pray for us all. Because there's a lot going on in the world. I don't know if anyone's noticed it, but it is. But we don't have to just accept every thought that drops into our heads. We don't have to entertain it. Martin Luther said, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from creating a nest in your hair. You don't have to accept every thought that drops into your mind. What about this? What if that? What about the economy? The heating costs are going up. What am I going to do? Fear, 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 fear. What are you feeding? The Bible talks about take every thought captive. What does that mean? It means you take these thoughts that come into your mind. You don't have to entertain them. You take them thought. You tie them like an enemy, like a prisoner of war. You make that thought a prisoner of war. Don't give them free rein. You put them into a little prison cell and you throw away the key. Throw away the key. You don't go back there. The minute that thought comes back, no, you're tied up in a prison cell. You're a prisoner of war. I don't accept that thought. I'm not accepting it. We need to take every thought captive. There are times even some negative thoughts that sort of provoke some things that we can think about that can provoke emotions that get stirred up. Emotions just get stirred up. You start thinking about a conversation that you've had or a colleague that's really annoying, or you know, and you think of the emotion that gets stirred up. It's not, no, don't, we cannot afford to lose our peace. We've got to look after, protect our peace, protect that seed in our hearts. Anything that's inspiring fear or anxiety, we've got to look to see where it comes from. Where's it coming from? Take those thoughts captive. And I want to say, even, so it's not only just negatives, it could be positives. No, I'm not going to apologize. You know what? When I was in Bible college in South Africa, I met Chris in my second year, and he was an usher in the church. And we come from a mega church. It was a big church, 7,000 seater, and so it was sort of like a amphitheater type thing. And Chris was this usher wearing his Rhema jacket, right in the front there. And we'd met about a week or two before in Bible college in second year. And I was in church on a Sunday, and I was on my way out, and I saw him down there. And we knew each other for 2 weeks when he proposed. Okay, so, and we've been married for 20-something years now, 27 years. So he was a fast mover, but this is before that happened. I'm talking about something that happened before that event, okay? So I saw him at the front of the church, and I turned my head, and I thought, oh, there's that guy. He's a nice guy. He's a good guy. I was on a mission to hear from God. I was in Bible Training Center. That was my focus. I did not go there for bridal training. I went for Bible training. I decided there and then, turn away. You cannot give that any thought. Do you know what? I'd messed up so many times in my life prior to getting married to my husband. I knew if you go down that route, you're opening the door. It's not the right time. Don't you dare. Sandy, don't you dare give it another thought. So I didn't. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, do not awaken love until it so desires. I walked away. A week later, he proposed to me. But So what I'm saying is, take every thought captive. I could have gone running in slow motion down that to the front there and said, God tells me you're my husband, you're the love of my life. No, 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 no. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm here for this purpose and this purpose only. Bible, not bridal, training center. And it must come the right way around. It must come from the man. So 27 years later, we are still delightfully happy. But we've got to take every thought captive. We've got to take every thought, good and bad. Counterfeits, memories. Oh, you know, Barbara Streisand, memories. You know, she sang that song, memories. Memories are good. You know, they're not evil. But don't dwell there. Don't dwell there. It's good to remember with love and tenderness your loved ones or whatever, your whatever's happened. But don't dwell there. Let go. The Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind, we reach forward to the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We can remember the past with love and tenderness, but don't dwell on it. Don't dwell in it. So back to the fruit. So if you're lacking in a certain fruit, and it could mean that the seed is dormant, that seed is dormant, what do we have to do? We have to create the right environment for it to germinate. Water and air. So I'm going to give you some practical pastoral pointers. My PPP of my message. What do we do? I would suggest, if you don't know your way around the Bible, get yourself a concordance. Otherwise, there are 1,001 apps available. Go and look up, get an app. Get an app on your phone. But if you're lacking in a certain fruit, so say now it's peace, go and look up, or the back of your Bible, you might have a bit of a concordance, and go and look up those scriptures. This is called renewing your mind. This is how we get changed from the inside. This is how fruit is developed. We're not going to start meditating on how anxious and fearful we are. No, we're going to start meditating on God's peace. So we start looking up scriptures about peace. And you know what we do after that? We get a pen, and a notepad, not a text, not a computer, not a copy and paste, a pen and a notepad. I'm telling you, I've been saved for 30-something years. I still do this. Ask Chris. I fill books of scriptures handwritten. I handwrite them. And then I read it out loud. And you know what happens? Faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. And there's nothing better than hearing the word of God coming out of your own mouth. It will build you. And so if it's peace that you're after, it's peace that you're hearing. So start meditating on the scripture. And let me just remind you, just because you can quote something, it doesn't mean you know it. Okay? Doesn't mean you know it. Just because you can quote it. I can quote thousands. Doesn't mean I know it. But read that scripture, meditate on it, let it come out of your mouth, and it'll sink into your heart, and that fruit that's in there will suddenly start growing. It'll just start blossoming. Look at the scripture from Isaiah 26. I'll give you a little bit of a hint here, ways to do this. Isaiah 26:3. Here's a scripture. I'm looking for peace. Isaiah 26:3. You were about to quote it, eh? Shanae was about to quote it. It's fine. It's good. It's good. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Beautiful scripture. Here's a beautiful scripture. We're looking for peace. There's one. You can write that one down. Take it to the bank. You will keep him in perfect peace. Personalize it. What's it mean? You know, you will keep him in perfect peace. No, you will keep me. You will keep Sandy in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, God, because Sandy trusts in you. Shanae, you will keep Shanae in perfect peace, because Shanae's mind is stayed on you, because Shanae trusts in you. Do that. Personalize it. Personalize the scripture. Then another thing, mess it up. Move it around. Just start looking at it slightly differently. because I trust in you, my mind is stayed on you. And because my mind is stayed on you, you'll keep me in perfect peace. Oh, come on. You can do what you like with the word, but just do anything to get it into you, to start feeding those scriptures. Feeding your heart. Listen to this. If you're lacking joy, here's a nice one. If you're lacking joy, Jeremiah 15, 16 says, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. God's word is the joy of my heart, the rejoicing of my heart. Meditate on these scriptures. Listen to this. Isaiah 55, verse 2. Listen carefully to me, God says. Eat what is good. Devour the word. Eat the word of God. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. This is what will happen. Your soul will delight in abundance. So I'm going to now end this message, but I'm going to give you 9 scriptures. Is that okay? Because we keep on saying that the fruit of the Spirit is the same. It's the character of God. It's the character of God. It displays the character of God. So we're going to look at some of the, we're going to look at all the fruit. We're going to look at these scriptures. The first one is love. Isaiah 54:10. Listen to what it says. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed. Remember the other very first scripture, as long as the earth remains. So the earth is still remaining. But the mountains may depart, the hills may be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. What a beautiful scripture. Just meditate on that. Though all hell breaks loose in my life, though the fig tree may not blossom, though the fruit may fail, though there be no oxen in the stalls, there's no flocks, there's no sheep, there's nothing, I will still praise you. You are still God. Your steadfast love will not depart. And my covenant of peace shall not be removed. God is love. God is love. That's love. Peace. Peace. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Long-suffering. Oh, I left out joy. I left out joy, sorry. I did, didn't I? Sorry. Oh, I've got to go back to joy. Psalm 43:4 says, I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. God is my exceeding joy. God is love. God is joy. God is peace. Long suffering. Psalm 86, verse 15. But you allow this word to wash over you. Even if you just close your eyes, but allow this word to just wash over you. You, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in mercy and truth. Kindness. Return to the Lord your God, Joel 2:13 says, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Great kindness. Goodness, Romans 2:4 says that the goodness of God leads us to repentance, not the judgment. The goodness of God. God's love draws us in. Faithfulness, Psalm 89, 6 times in Psalm 89, God's faithfulness is described. It says, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you? O Lord, your faithfulness also surrounds you. God's faithfulness surrounds him. Another one, I can't help it. Isaiah 25, verse 1. Oh Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. We sang those words earlier. I will exalt you. Be exalted, Lord, in the heavens. We sang that earlier. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. You know what? In the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ himself is known as the Amen, faithful and true. Faithful and true. That's his name. Gentleness. The Apostle Paul says, now I, Paul, appeal to you by the gentleness and the kindness of Christ. Gentleness and kindness of Christ. Self-control, Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. You know what? The love of God is like the bond. It's the glue that holds everything all together. Joy is the oil, and we can experience peace like a river. We can experience peace. There's never a lack at the source. The river keeps flowing. The river of God is filled with water. So God wants to increase us, not diminish us. He wants to grow us in every area of our lives. He's given us everything we have need of for life and godliness. We are partakers of his divine nature. We share the nature of God. And he wants those seeds which are planted in our hearts to germinate. To germinate. He's done his part. We need to do our part. Water and air. Washing of water by the word. With the breath of God. The Spirit of God. Breathing life into you. So that seed germinates. It breaks out of its hard shell and germinates and grows into fully grown and ripened fruit. And as we do, we are filled with the fullness of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just thank you for your beautiful word. Thank you for the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. Thank you for your great mercy. Thank you for your great kindness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you are good and you do good. And we love you today, Lord. Just while every head is bowed, every eye closed, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and today you want to receive him, no one's looking around. If you want to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, won't you just lift up your hand? I want to pray for you. I want to include you in my prayer. Father, I just thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Lord, that you are good. You are love. You are joy. You are peace. You are kindness. You are faithful. You have self-control. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's your goodness that causes us to repent. And so, Lord Jesus, today we ask you, we invite you into our lives. We're not going to try and modify our behavior, but Lord, we want to just respond to you today and say, come into my heart afresh. Lord, like we heard from the testimonies earlier today, Lord Jesus, come into my heart afresh today. I receive you today as my personal Lord and Savior. And I thank you, Lord, for freedom, for fullness of joy, for love, for your mercy and your kindness. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. I'd love us to go out with a song, but alas, we're out of time. So why don't you, if today is your first time and you're with us, don't rush away, okay? We've got free gifts for those who are here for the first time. And tea, coffee, don't forget to fetch your kids ASAP, please. And help yourself to teas and coffees and cupcakes. Thank you, Isabella. Isabella, oh, I saw all the heads nod up. Woo, got everyone's attention now. Cupcakes. Let's enjoy the rest of the day. Have a great bank holiday weekend. See you at Jubilee Park on Friday at 11 a.m. God bless you.